It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study of the book of John today will take us into chapter 7. Now, we just left chapter 6, and in chapter 6, we saw the feeding of the 5,000. I remind you that this would not have included women or children. It says that there was 5,000 men present, and I do not believe the Bible is making a mistake here by not letting us know there were more people present. I simply think it wanted to call to our attention that there was at least 5,000 people there, and they got fed. Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes. A miracle had taken place. And then at the end of the feeding of the 5,000, there was enough that was picked up, I believe 12 baskets full. And this would have been leftovers that plenty enough for someone else to have something to eat. As it's something the 12 apostles may have had this for food. Well, then we see that the Jews present there that observed and they were partakers of the feeding of the 5,000, they wanted to take Christ then and make him king. Well, Christ knew that wasn't time for that, so he slipped away, and these people soon followed him. They followed him, and when they found where he was, they worshiped him, and once again, they wanted to make him king, but then he started telling them. Now, Jesus never spoke just to be speaking. He always had in mind that people needed salvation. They needed to be able to go to heaven. So Jesus would preach. And this is, I've mentioned this before, this reminds me of Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle took every occasion to preach the gospel so that people could go to heaven. And this is what Jesus did. Now, he fed the 5,000, he left. And now he's talking to the Jews once again, and he's telling them that he is the bread of life. He makes note that the manna that kept the Israelites alive in the wilderness was not sent by Moses, but God had sent that manna to sustain the life of those people who were marching, wandering in the wilderness during that time. Well, Jesus went on to say that not only did God supply that bread, but that he is that bread of life. He is the bread of life. He's not only able to sustain, he was telling those people, he sustained them in the wilderness, but he's able to sustain or give eternal life to anyone who would come to him and receive him once again as God. As he was telling them this, remember, these were the same people who wanted to take him and make him king. But now they wanted to kill him. So it wasn't time for that. So Jesus, he kept telling them that he was the bread of life and that they needed to realize this. And then as we see, we start in the end of chapter 6 of John, verse 66 says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" And let me remind you, a disciple is simply a learner. That doesn't make a person a saved person simply because they're a disciple. These people were learning about Jesus Christ. They were following him and they were listening. And that's the way it is when the word of God goes forth. Everyone who hears the word does not get saved. The word is planted and it's watered. In other words, one person would tell someone how to be saved and to trust Jesus. Another person comes along after that person has dealt with that lost individual, and that lost individual possibly would not get saved at that time, but another person would come along and reinforce what that first person has said. And many times, the second person possibly would not even know that there was another person who had given that individual a plan of salvation. So they give the plan of salvation, and it may be at that time that that person gets saved, or maybe not. They hear the word of God again. Well, then later on, another person would come along and tell an individual, you must be born again. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior. We call this sowing the seed, watering the seed. And then that third person, it doesn't always happen this way. Sometimes the first person sees the result, but the third person coming along reaps the harvest. In other words, the third person gives a plan of salvation once again, and that person who does not know Christ knows him then because a person sowed the seed, a person watered, and then a person reaped. That person gives a plan of salvation, and that other individual gets saved. Well, the disciple. Notice, some of them went back. It says many of his disciples went back. Doesn't say all of them went back, does it? Verse 67, then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Well, Peter, we always think of Peter as the one who was always speaking up. And sometimes Peter really got himself into trouble. But at this point, Peter really knew who Jesus was. He says, thou hast the words of eternal life. And if I could back up just a moment here and mention one more thing about these people, these disciples who went back. Jesus taught the Word of God. He is the Word of God. And as we give out the Word of God, we're teaching the Word of God. And simply because a person does not get saved, does not make that person is not necessarily not a disciple. In other words, that person is there learning. In fact, Jesus tells us to go into all the world teaching and preaching and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching. And this is what this means here. Teaching. A disciple is a learner, one who is learning, one who is understanding and realizing that there's something there that possibly they need. But these people, once again, they got to a certain point and they didn't believe Jesus, and many of them went back. They did not follow him from that point on. Verse 69 says, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ. This is Peter talking, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. Now Jesus knew who the devil was, and he's telling them that one of them is a devil. And verse 71 says, he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, not Simon Peter now, but Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. It's very possible for a person to walk along and pretend to be saved. There's a lot of people like that in churches today, I fear. And the Bible says they are tares. They come into the local work, and they've never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. They're devils, according to the Word of God, because Judas Iscariot was a devil, according to verse 70 of chapter 6 of John. And he was the one who betrayed Jesus. But there's many people today who are betraying Jesus. There's many people today who claim to know him as Lord and Savior. And we have those people in churches today. And there's always going to be people like this. So what do we do? Well, we keep on preaching the Word of God. We keep on telling people, you must be born again. You need to know Jesus as Savior. Even Judas Iscariot was a disciple. Now, he was an apostle, but he was also a disciple. He was a learner. In other words, he was listening. And it's sad that he didn't learn enough, that he didn't understand, evidently, about being saved. Jesus was a lost person. He went to hell. Well, we go into chapter 7 now of John, and it says, after these things, now after all these things transpired in chapter 6, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, once again, they had wanted to make him king, and several instances, you remember, he said he was the bread of life. They wanted to kill him, and now it's telling us here that, reminding us that he could not walk with the Jews at that point because they wanted to kill him. That's something, isn't it, that on one hand they wanted to make him king and then they wanted to kill him. And verse 2 of John 7 says, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Now notice verse 3. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Not only did Jesus have ridicule, and not only did the Jews want to kill him, but his brothers also wanted to ridicule him, and they were ridiculing him here. They were making fun of him. And oftentimes, we are traveling through this world, we're saved, and one of the hardest things for us is that our family members many times will turn against us. Well, why is that? Well, it's because that we know Jesus Christ as Savior, and they've never trusted him as Savior. Now, I'm not saying that all of them have not trusted him. I'm saying that there are those who do not trust Jesus Christ, our own family members, and they will seem to turn against us, just as Jesus' brothers did not believe that he was the Son of God at that time. Now, let me jump ahead just a little bit and let you know that they do believe in him after the resurrection. They realize that he is the Son of God, that he was the Son of God at that time, he still is, and that he is able to save people, to give them eternal life. But his brethren here in John chapter 7, these first few verses, they were actually making fun of him. It was like a ridicule. Verse 4, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret. They're telling him, look, if you're real, you need to do this openly. And he himself seeketh to be known openly. They're telling Jesus, they're trying to tell the Son of God how to do what he's supposed to do on this earth. If thou do these things, they said, show thyself to the world. For neither did his disciples believe in him, or his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come. Remember I said the Jews wanted to take him at one time in chapter 6, and they wanted to make him king. But his time had not come. And he's telling his brethren here, he says, my time is not yet come, but your time is already, always ready. In other words, you're of the world. And he tells them this. Verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. They, brethren, were not saved at this time. They were of the world. And there's many people today who want to be close to the Lord. They, once again, there's people within local churches who consider themselves close to the Lord, but they've never trusted him as Lord and Savior. And these people, these were his brethren. These were his stepbrothers. Remember, Jesus had no earthly father. His father was in heaven. And Mary was the virgin who gave birth to Jesus after she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Well, notice in verse 7 again, it says, the world cannot hate you, he's telling his brothers, his half-brothers, but me it hateth, because I testify of it. He tells people exactly the way it is. In other words, it's what he's saying here. And then he tells the brethren, go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. It was not time for Jesus to go up, but we're going to read in just a moment that he does go up. In verse 9, when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. They went up and he waited. He stayed. There's a certain time when Jesus would make an appearance. Well, do you know him today as your Savior? You need to know him, because you need to be on your way to heaven. The Bible says, to as many as received him, that's Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, in other words, the children of God. It makes no difference who you are, rich, poor. It makes no difference. God wants you as one of his children. He wants to save you. That's the reason Jesus came into the world, to seek and to save those who were lost. Realize you're lost. You can't save yourself. Jesus can. He can save you and make you fit for heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.